Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
They're back. It's the Boss
and the Gloss.
We're back
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, Sports Map Radio, Boss and the Gloss. And when we had a chance to visit with James Brown earlier last hour, it was fun to hear him talk about the running back position. The running back position is not what it used to be. They're certainly not getting paid like they used to get paid. But Josh Jacobs just got paid something. I mean, it was not what he had hoped for. This is a guy who's been outstanding for the Raiders, maybe one of the best backs in the league.
He was the NFL's leading rusher last year.
Extraordinary talent. And unfortunately, the Raiders did not exercise the rookie fifth-year option on him a year ago, so they had to apply the tag on him. He didn't like the tag, and he was sitting out, but they had finally come to terms, and this is a great day for Raider Nation to get back Josh Jacobs.
No, it's great. And you know what? I really like, especially in a week that we're hearing so much whining out of players. We're hearing Tua whining, which we will get to later in the show. There's things for that. You know, Jonathan Taylor, we're going to find out his fate tomorrow, this and that. Josh Jacobs, instead of taking that snub, basically, last year when the Raiders did not pick up his option, they tagged him, $10.1 million franchise tag. He is the first player in NFL history to be paid above his franchise tag. He signed a $12 million, $11.8 million with incentives up to $12 million. And you know what? His attitude was fantastic. What did he do last year? He didn't sulk around and just do 3 yards here, 4 yards there. No, he was the leading rusher in the NFL last year. And I love this quote. I have to just, when his fifth-year option was declined, this is what Jacob said. For me, I'm like, okay, that just means I'm going to get paid younger. That was my point of view. I felt it was a perfect situation because it was all on me. I controlled the narrative at that point. Whatever I did, whether it was good or bad, it would be on me. I kind of liked that. I kind of liked that pressure a little bit. Thank you. How about these athletes that are being paid for their incredible talents, taking some accountability? And he did it. And it did work out well for him, and hopefully it's going to work out well for Las Vegas as well. I mean, he's an incredible guy. His season last year, 340 carries for almost 1,700 yards, 12 TDs, 53 catches for 400 yards, led the league in rushing, and he led everyone. Are you ready for this? With an average of 97.2 rushing yards per game. That is a guy who said, okay, you don't want to bet on me? Let me show you what I got. He earns this money. And I love what James Brown said when we asked him, does this now reset the market? Because, you know, the running back market has taken such a hit this summer. And he said, no. It really, in his opinion, depended on the team and what the needs of that team were. And what does your running back depth chart look like? What is your offensive scheme? And for Las Vegas, they need this guy. Darren Waller is now a New York Giant. They've got to have better options. And I credit it's the first move out of Las Vegas that I think makes some sense. Good Lord.
Yeah, the whole structure of the rookie deals does not work in favor of these running backs.
No.
Because
Gosh.
Any rookie, particularly a first-round rookie like Josh Jacobs was, signs a four-year deal, and then the team has a player option. So they really can't cash in on a second contract until they're 5 years into their career. And for running backs, the shelf life is over. I mean,
yes.
5, 6, 7 years, it's over. So it's really hard. And the teams who have, the Cowboys were one. They did it with Elliott. Other teams have done it. The teams who give that big second contract to a running back usually regret it. And so that's what's so tough for running backs. And that really needs to be a way for them to get money earlier. If we're going to figure out a good answer for the running backs, it's not, well, wait till year 4 or 5, and then maybe you can get a second contract.
Maybe it's a 3-year or 2-year with an option.
Okay, but I wanted to ask you, because Raiders now have had an interesting offseason. Obviously, Derek Carr is gone. Jimmy G is in for Derek Carr. But they've got a lot of talent when you put Jacobs behind Jimmy G and you think about Devontae Adams and you think about the defensive side of the ball, guys like Max Crosby. What's the state of the Raiders now? Are you confident in the players on the field? Are you confident in the coach? Or do you just think they don't have all the pieces fit?
I give it a yes and a no. I am confident of the players on the field. I love the players on the field. I do think that the defense still is missing some pieces. I'm not confident at all in the coach. I'm just not. I am not a Josh McDaniels fan at all. I hope he shows me differently. But when you're in New England with Bill Belichick as your head guy and you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, it is really hard to mess that up.
Yeah.
Like, I give him credit. He's not obviously, he's talented. But I look at what happened in Denver. He did not make it through a season. Like, it was bad. And I don't see that he on his own, I don't like how he handled things last year. He pushed Derek Carr out. Don't get me started on it. And it's okay if you want to change, but there's a way to do it. He didn't do it professionally, and he didn't make Derek Carr look good, and that's on Josh McDaniels. I don't like it. He gave away Darren Waller. Are you kidding me? Like, this is
that was a head scratcher. Oh. Darren Waller is a unique, almost a unicorn type talent.
Yes, absolutely. So I don't have faith in the coaching staff at all. Now, I do feel better with the signing of Josh Jacobs. I'm like, wow, maybe some smarter heads are going to prevail here. But, you know, don't have a lot of confidence in Mark Davis. So just I wish I could say for my team that I grew up with and love through all of their moves and grooves, I don't feel great about it.
What's the ceiling for Jimmy G in your mind?
Depends on his health. Mm-hmm. I really like Jimmy G, and I think he's really smart, and I think he has been given a raw deal in the court of public opinion, because when he is healthy, he's amazing.
Yeah, his winning record is very, very good.
It's incredible.
But the great Kyle Shanahan, we talked to him about last hour, is he the ultimate evaluator of quarterbacks? He really discarded him. I mean, he had Jimmy G. He thought he had a team poised for the Super Bowl, and then he gave up all that capital to go get Trey Lance, which basically –
that should
Jimmy
tell you
G
about
out.
Kyle Shanahan right there.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because he had a winner in Jimmy G, but he opted for the girl next door who was a little younger and prettier in Trey Lance. And that's interesting, but that was a Kyle Shanahan decision. But when you look at Jimmy G's overall record and performance, it's pretty good.
It's very good. And when the fact that we are even talking about someone who is a backup to Tom Brady perennially in New England – says something right there, because Tom Brady is otherworldly. Like, sure. He's untouchable, honestly. Yep. I really like Jimmy G. I think it's a great pickup for Las Vegas. I don't trust the coaching. Now, they were together in New England, and I think that's why that trade happened. I think the interesting thing that you bring up about Kyle Shanahan is a great point. Like, he had Jimmy G. Why in the world did he go give up the farm for Trey Lance, a very unproven prospect from an FCS school, not an FBS school, didn't play but one game his senior year? This is where I have a little bit of a knock on Kyle Shanahan. Do I think he's a brilliant football mind? I do. Obviously, look what he's done with this 49er team. But he hasn't won the big one. Not in Atlanta, not here in San Francisco. Why? Because he tries to outsmart everybody and get cute, like picking up Trey Lance. Why are you doing that when you've got Jimmy G? Like, stick to the game plan. He did it in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. He had that game. But he started to get cute, and he went away from his game plan. And I think that's what – I think he's trying too hard for the grand slam. Take a home run when it's looking you in the face. I don't know. I have an issue with that. And I think that he feels the pressure from being the wonderkin, you know, competition with Sean McVay. And Sean McVay came in and he won his Super Bowl. Now, he hasn't done squat-ola since then, but he won his Super Bowl. And Shanahan doesn't have that as a head coach. So I think that might be subconsciously pushing him to do these moves that are seemingly a little bit head-scratching to me.
Well, I think Jimmy G, you're right. If he's healthy, he can
– and health's an issue with
at
him.
Least manage the offense, if not excel in the offense. But he's never been one to make a lot of mistakes or throw a lot of picks or put the ball on the ground. And he does have a lot of weapons around him. I mean, Darren Waller was a big loss, but you've still got good receivers out there. And then to get Josh Jacobs back to set up the play action.
That's going to be huge for
him. It's going to be huge for him.
But the difference he's going to have in Las Vegas, I mean, there's plenty from what he had in San Francisco. San Francisco had a complementary defense that was otherworldly. Mm-hmm. That defense, number one defense in the NFL last year. So when you, the pressure is much less when you have the support of a defense like that. And as I said in the beginning of the segment, when you asked me about the Raiders, that to me is their weak point. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't see that that's changed a whole lot. I hope so. So he's not going to have that support from the other side of the ball.
It's interesting because it's just a year ago, coming into the season, we thought the AFC West was a monster, right?
I was sure of it.
We all knew the Chiefs were going to be good. The Chargers with Justin Herbert, of course. The Broncos had landed the great Russell Wilson, and that was going to put the Broncos into playoff contention. And then the Raiders were stocked, frankly, when you had Josh Jacobs, and they had traded for Davante Adams, and Derek Carr was at the height of his powers. That group in the AFC West looks so formidable. Obviously, the Broncos disappointed greatly under Nathaniel Hackett, but it just doesn't seem like that long ago we thought this division was loaded, and it may well be loaded this year. I mean, it's always tricky how things change year to year. It wasn't that long ago. Remember, the NFC East was the NFC least.
And then last year they sent their team to the Super Bowl.
The Eagles to the Super Bowl, and the Cowboys had 12 wins. And so things change radically from year to year. But a year ago, it was the AFC West was the best division in football and obviously underperformed. We shall see how it shakes out this year. I do think the Broncos are going to bounce back to some level. I mean, coaching does matter, and Sean Payton does run circles around Nathaniel Hackett as a head coach.
And Josh McDaniels, he also runs circles around him too.
Well, maybe so. But I just got to believe the Raiders are going to be better this year than they were last year. I hate to lose Darren Waller from that team, but still, I think they'll get things figured out. They'll be more on the same page. Jimmy G and Josh McDaniels should be more on the same page than Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels were.
Okay, I hope so. I love that you're more positive about my Raiders than I am.
Well, we shall see. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some of these athletes who have not yet signed. People like Jonathan Taylor, hanging in the balance, holding out. That up next here on Sports Map Radio.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios,
here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And we talked about Josh Jacobs returning to the Raiders, getting his deal done. But there are some players out there whose fate remains unsettled. And some very big names, some of the best players in all of the NFL. I mean, the big one to me is Nick Bosa. That 49ers defense is not the same without Nick Bosa, and he's holding out right now. Many think he will get a contract that would make him the highest paid edge rusher of all time. And frankly, why not? He's certainly one of the best, and certainly if not the best in the NFL, and deserves that kind of consideration. Aaron Donald got that $32 million a year deal. Of course, Donald plays in the interior, Bosa on the exterior, but they're both standout, stellar, best-in-class defensive lineman. What are the 49ers going to have to do to get Nick Bosa? I mean, they got to get him in contract under, in the camp right now.
And they will. I mean, John Lynch, I saw an interview with him, and he doesn't like this. They've never had this. Yeah. I mean, they really do take care of business. I think John Lynch is a brilliant GM. He's really great. And he and Shanahan work very well together. This is unusual for them. But if you see Nick Bosa, how he conducts himself on social media, his political views, his stance. He's a polarizing guy. Mm. He is a controversial guy. He is the best at his position, and he is the general of that San Francisco defense. This does not surprise me at all. I think that San Francisco will get it done. They do need to get it done.
Yeah. T.J. Watt got $28 million 2 years ago from the Steelers, a $28 million per year deal 2 years ago. And certainly you can argue that Bosa is a better player. So if that's true, Bosa gets north of $28 million. And then you got Aaron Donald at $32 million per year. It's going to be intriguing to see where they land. But sure, yeah, I think when all the dust settles, Lynch and Bosa will sign probably sort of the last hour. And then Bosa will come and running in and we'll just see what kind of shape he's in and able to play without a lot of training camp time.
No, I think that's right. And, you know, it sounds crazy to me that Bosa is being fined $40,000 a day for training camp, every day that he misses in training camp. Think about this. You know, you just said Aaron Donald's getting $32 million a year, T.J. Watt, $28 million. Bosa's going to be in that neighborhood somewhere. So all total of training camp, it will, quote, only – he only be docked $1.5 million.
That's right.
Like, I mean, that's a hiccup for him. It's embarrassing. I can't even believe I'm talking like that. But that's the reality of the crazy NFL. So he's not worried about training camp. Now, I would be as a coach.
As a coach and as a team and as a fan, you want your players in. You figure there's good fruit coming out of the time. I mean, Chris Jones of the Chiefs, their defensive tackle, is in the same boat. He's holding out. And he wants a raise from, apparently, he's down at $19.5 million. He wants to go up to $30 million. Andy Reid said he thinks that he can get him in time, but there we go again. Chris Jones is a guy who is a very, very good player, but the
and
Chiefs,
he's a difference maker. Honestly, when they lost Tyreek Hill, he came in. I mean, he was probably the reason they won that Super Bowl. Really, he held. Wow, what he did in that game was unbelievable.
I mean, Chiefs don't have the big superstar names on defense the way they have had on offense, and certainly Mahomes is the headline of all that. But Chris Jones has been that guy. And
yeah, he has.
So, but he is not in camp, and that's just a money thing. What's a little more complex is the fate of Jonathan Taylor, the stand-up running back from the Colts, where he doesn't want to stay with the Colts, and he's waiting for the Colts to trade him. But the problem, of course, is that the Colts want high draft capital, perhaps a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, they want a first-rounder.
And then the team that would acquire him would have to give up not only a first-round draft pick, but also have to give Taylor a new contract. So they have to use both draft capital and salary cap capital in order to bring in Jonathan Taylor. That's hard to do in an NFL that doesn't value running backs the way it used to.
No, absolutely. And we're going to find out that fate tomorrow. I think the whole deal with Jonathan Taylor, he's got a tricky situation in that Jim Irsay is the owner of the Colts. Jim Irsay, to me, is Jerry Jones and Elon Musk have a baby. It's Jim Irsay. So, if Jonathan Taylor has to stay, can you see him giving his all to this Colts team?
No, that's a mess.
No, the bridge is burned.
That's right. I think, unfortunately for the Colts, they're in a spot where they have to trade him. Given all that has come down, they've got to put him out. They've got to trade him away.
They won't get the best version of JT.
No.
At all.
Nope.
What I can see happening, if he does stay on with the Colts, which would be against him, he's on the PUP list right now, apparently, with some, ankle situation. Whether that's real or not, I don't know, but that's where he is. I can see him sitting here, because you know what's going to happen. Week one, a key running back's going to get hurt. This is the NFL. There are injuries every week. So by the trade deadline, probably midseason, he gets dealt. I don't see him, if he has to begin the season as a Colt, I don't see him ending the season as a Colt. He's mad. He thinks he's the best running back in the NFL. Talk to Josh Jacobs. I don't think so. But, I mean, Jonathan Taylor is a very incredible running back. And Jim Irsay, I think it's a standoff.
So presumably some deal will be cut because it doesn't look like it's ever going to – you can put the pieces back together and Jonathan Taylor can go back to the Colts.
Six teams have inquired and two have made offers.
Okay. So what team do you see as a good fit? Where do you like to see Jonathan Taylor land? Where can he have the best impact, best fit, and really elevate a team the best?
Miami.
Yeah, you like him on the Dolphins.
I do. I mean, do I think the Dolphins need another weapon? No. But you look at Mike McDaniels. He was a running game coordinator before he became a head coach. So this is in his wheelhouse, and he would love to have the talent of a Jonathan Taylor.
And when you talk about the Dolphins' weapons, you're really talking about the wide receiver position. They're not as strong at the running back room.
Correct.
And to add Jonathan Taylor would add a lot of firepower there. Now, they did take a hard look at Dalvin Cook.
Yes, they did.
Opted not to go there, and I think the deal there was in the neighborhood of $8 million annually. Jonathan Taylor's going to want a whole lot more money.
Yeah. He wants Josh Jacobs' money and then some.
Yeah, so the Dolphins will struggle, I'm sure, with how to accommodate that contract. I think they could get their head around the contract. I think that the bigger issue will be they don't want to give up a first-round draft pick to the Colts. So
no.
The Colts are going to have to give up something here because they They're up against it. I guess the Dolphins would figure that out and say, well, no, the best offer we're going to offer you is a fourth rounder or a third rounder, because we're also going to have to pay this salary. And you're not willing to pay that salary, Mr. Irsay. So we're going to do it, but you're only going to get a limited amount of draft capital.
Yeah, I can see that happening. How about you? Where do you think he's the best fit?
Yeah, I had the Dolphins on my list as well. The idea of Tua doing a play action to Jonathan Taylor and then being able to throw deep to Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill is a scary setup. I mean, those guys, Hill and Waddle, are just explosive. It's so interesting to me, because if you had told me that you could put those two receivers on the same team, I'd say, well, I love both receivers, but I don't know that I would have paired them up. They struck me as sort of similar receivers, sort of small build, but uber fast, the ability to really stretch the field, and yet they play bigger than their size. So that's why it sort of works. I might have thought you'd want one big, tall, lanky possession receiver and one smaller, speedy, quick guy, and then a slot guy to be short and quick, not fast. But they've found a way to make those two guys really play well, and they play so well together.
And credit Mike McDaniels. I mean, he's done a great job in his short tenure there. Absolutely, he has.
Yeah, he's sort of a mad scientist with
all
that. I love him with those big glasses. He comes across. And look, they got to get the most out of Chubb's contract. You know, they signed him to a big deal, and they're looking for him to be the sort of the force on the front line of their defense. And then Jalen Ramsey is Jalen Ramsey. When he's healthy, he's just an amazing corner. So they've got some really good star power, both on the offense and the defensive side of the ball.
When will Ramsey be available for Miami? I know he had an injury.
Yeah, not sure of his timeline, but they need him. I mean, he's just one of the best in the backfield.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. He is. Wow. A lot of weapons in Miami, which means a lot of expectations in Miami, and it's all going to hinge on Tua.
Well, that AFC East is interesting, because in other years, I mean, we're talking about how the AFC West last year was supposed to be such a beast and didn't prove to be. But this year, look at the AFC East. I mean, the Patriots, of all things, are the weak link in that division. They were long the one great team, and then there were all the laughingstock teams. But now, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Bills, those three are all headed for the playoffs, it would seem. And that leaves the Patriots out.
Well, you know, I think part of the Patriots' step back, what in the world are you doing putting Matt Patricia in as your OC?
Oh, that was an awful decision.
I mean, he was the DC in New England during Tom Brady's tenure.
Right.
Went to Detroit, where you can show your offensive prowess. That got him fired.
Right.
So why in the world? So that, to me, is head-scratching move by Belichick.
Well, Matt Patricia, cast as an offensive coordinator, was so bad.
It's like me being the boss.
Well, it made so bad that it makes me think that Bill O'Brien might actually be pretty good offensive coordinator for them, which is hard for me to say. But
we're
based
out of Houston.
But Bill O'Brien will get more out of that offense and more out of Mac Jones. So it'll be fun to watch that AFC East and what the Patriots will do. When we come back, we're going to look at the Ryan Clark versus Tua back and forth.
That
up next year on Sports Map Radio.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios,
here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And when we went to break, we decided we needed to talk about this flare-up that happened between Ryan Clark, who, of course, is a radio show host and a TV host on ESPN.
Former NFL player as well. Steelers.
And he called out Tua Tagovailoa very aggressively, with sort of two comments. One questioning Tua's work ethic all season, saying that Tua had not worked out in the offseason and that his body looked sort of plump and like the women who were part of a strip club. And Tua didn't
you
like it.
You would not know that, and I'm very grateful for that. Thank you, boss.
Yeah, I haven't been to a strip club in at least a couple weeks. But the point was, he was pretty aggressive on Tua. Tua shot back. He said, keep my name out of your mouth. Tua upset at those comments. Ryan Clark offering an apology. How do you look at that debate? Are you on Tua's side of this or Ryan Clark's side of this? Or is there a side to take?
Well, it's complicated and it's very nuanced. But if you're asking me the question and you want an answer, I'm on Ryan Clark's side for why he's questioning Tua. I don't like how he did it in the manner of which he did it. I don't think that was great. I thought those are some pretty low blows. But here's what I would want to say. I frankly was struck by the fact that Tua clapped back. That A, doesn't seem like his personality. And B, I'm of the school of the most powerful message that you can send doesn't involve words. Show me what you got. I mean, listen, Tua. Miami took you with the fifth pick in the first round of that draft. They're riding their franchise on you. Stop saying, keep your words out of my mouth. Show me what you got. And you didn't do it last year. You know, and now the concussion thing was awful. But also, he shouldn't have put himself out there the second time. He knew he was concussed. I mean, you don't need a medical person to tell you. You and me knew he was concussed the first time. And 4 days later, again. So my thought is, you know, silence your doubters. Make Ryan Clark eat his words by what you do on the field. There's no need to say anything back. I did appreciate Ryan Clark's apology, and I thought it was warranted, and I thought it was fair because I thought he took some low blows. But the overall message, I'm wondering the same thing. Like, what are you doing? Let me see it. What have you done to silence the critics?
Yeah, so I disagree with you on this one. I was on Tua's side. And the reason to me is, look, of course Tua's had injuries, and you can say he shouldn't have come back the second time because he was concussed. But the reason that frustrates me with Ryan Clark is Ryan Clark, look, set aside the strip club comment. That was just a flippant joke. That's
not even the one that bothered me the most.
No, what bothers me.
The work ethic question.
Ryan Clark questioned Tua's work ethic.
Yeah.
In fact, what is the worst thing that Ryan Clark could say about any player in the NFL? He lacks a work ethic. He doesn't put in his dues. Look at the way Kyler Murray was just raked over the coals for lacking a work ethic. And Tua...
And that is fair.
Okay.
That guy doesn't have a work ethic.
That may be fair. But Ryan Clark is saying Tua didn't do the time in the gym. He didn't get his body right. He's coming back to this season sort of like the Pillsbury Doughboy. And you say that. Okay, if you say that, if you're going to call a player... sort of the worst thing that you can say, he lacks work ethic, then you better be right. And it turns out he really wasn't right. I mean, he did in his apology say, I've now talked to the trainer, and I understand that Tua's been in the gym. He's been working out all the time, and all of his metrics, and the trainers track every body metric there is known to mankind, all of Tua's metrics are better this year, and he is bigger this year. And part of the reason he's bigger is he wants to be physically stronger. One of the knocks on Tua is that his body is frail and he's too vulnerable to injuries. So he's working to bulk up and he's taking his time to do that. And if the worst thing, so you can say, well, he didn't have a work ethic, but that's just not true. I mean, Ryan Clark called a player the worst thing you can say about him without doing his homework, and it turned out to be false. Ryan Clark owed him that apology.
Well, the work ethic did turn out to be false because the trainer says otherwise. But no one's seen anything on the field yet. And I have not been impressed with Tua since he came into the NFL.
Well,
when
he's been healthy, you don't think he's played well?
I think he's been okay. I don't think he's played great. He's got – now, look what Miami's done. They brought in an incredible coach for him in Mike McDaniel. Remember, he started out with Brian Flores. They got him Tyreek Hill. Jalen Waddle came with him.
Yep.
And now they've brought in Dalvin Cook. They have given everything around him, and credit them. That's what they should do. You put that draft capital in a number five pick, you've got to do that. But he hasn't done anything with it. And so I'm still waiting to see.
Well, that may be. But, of course, they don't have Dalvin Cook.
He's new this year. That's
but the point being that, look, performance of the field, one thing. Work ethic, another. Ryan Clark is attacking his work ethic. If you want to say, well... thus far in his career, which is still early, he hasn't had sustained high-level performance of play. That's fair.
That is fair.
If you want to say the guy doesn't try, he doesn't work out, he doesn't go into the gym, he doesn't work to make himself better, and he's not trying to – and the reason he looks bigger is because he's fat. In fact, he's bigger because he's trying to protect himself and be more injury avoid the injuries.
Right.
Well,
that's
why Ryan Clark, what he said, I just think was out of bounds.
Well, to question
the man's
work ethic.
Well,
that's what I
said.
He went below the belt.
Yeah.
And I did not think that was fair.
Yep.
Now, I think him questioning, well, we got to see it. That's fair.
But he didn't. He did not.
No,
that's the point.
That's why
Ryan Clark is off base. Ryan Clark is looking for headlines. He's looking for Clark says
clickbait.
Tua looks like he belongs in a strip club. Ryan Clark is just a showman. He's not really. He didn't do his homework. He just made an outrageous claim, a very negative claim, almost a slanderous claim against a player that was unfounded. And that's why I'm anti-Ryan Clark today.
Yeah. Hey, that's fair. Yeah. And I don't like the way he did it. I don't. But I myself am ready to see. Show me, Tua. Show me. I'm ready.
So one thing, looking at the quarterbacks in that division, it's sort of funny because, well, not in that division, but let's go over. We were talking about different quarterbacks. We've got Baker Mayfield has been announced as the starting quarterback for the Buccaneers. He is the successor to Tom Brady, which is fascinating
that
to think about.
That is quite a moniker to be put on someone.
Yeah. You know what? Mac Jones was describing to Jordan Love what it's like to follow a legend, and that's not an easy thing to do. And look, Tom Brady wasn't with Tampa Bay the same way that he was with New England for many, 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 many years.
Nobody came, he won, he conquered, and he left.
And now Baker Mayfield will come and not necessarily conquer and maybe leave. But Baker Mayfield, on his fourth team, this is presumably his last chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, that was my question to you. Because we were on opposite sides of the fence when Baker came out. I mean,
I was much more optimistic about his abilities, yes.
And for some reason, I didn't like that he needed anger to be motivated.
Yes.
I was like, you are talented enough. Dig in from someplace else.
Yeah, chip on his shoulder, comma, though he's a Heisman Trophy winner and the world loved him and he was going number one overall.
Oh, my gosh.
But I've been disrespected. I mean, that's just
totally bizarre,
right?
Yes,
I get it.
Exactly. You said that well. You know, in 2022... he went 1-5 with Carolina, 1-3 with the Rams. He had 4 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. That's his line for 2022. Now, Tampa Bay got him on the cheap, $8.5 million on a 1-year deal, 1 month after Brady retired. But look at this. Over his 5 NFL seasons, he's 31 wins to 38 losses in 69 starts, 102 touchdowns to 64 interceptions. That doesn't get me excited, but I really did want to ask you, do you feel like this is his last chance? And where does he go from here if he doesn't work out as the starter in Tampa Bay? What happens?
Well, then I think he is a backup. He's like a Sam Darnold in San Francisco.
Okay.
I mean, this is a quarterback-starved league. Could he be a backup somewhere? Surely. But the idea that he's ever going to be what he was projected to be, is he ever going to play up to that status?
Right?
No way. I mean, you go back and look at that draft. We were talking about it the other day. But Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, all in that same draft, all so disappointing. None of them really played to the level that everybody thought. And it's just bizarre to me. I mean, Josh Rosen was such a disappointment with the Cardinals. And then I guess he's now on the practice squad of the Vikings. But I don't think we're ever going to hear from him again. And that's sort of the fate of Baker Mayfield if he flames out here with Tampa. He could go be a backup somewhere, but this is really his last chance to ever be thought of or considered or given the opportunity to really be that franchise quarterback.
Well, and lucky for Baker Mayfield. I mean, the poor Chosen Rosen, he's done. But Mayfield's got more ads than he has teams that he's played on. It's just unbelievable what a marketing machine that guy has been for such an unexciting set of statistics in his 5-year NFL career.
All right, when we come back, we are going to look at the teams that we think have the most upside, intriguing teams that have upside that may be overlooked, and also some teams that are poised for a long, disappointing season. We will take a look at those two things when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And in this segment, I wanted to pick your brain, Carla, and talk about teams that intrigue you with some lot of upside and then teams you think are poised to really disappoint. One thing I wanted to highlight, you know, we talked about those quarterbacks in that draft that included Sam Darnold. Well, Baker Mayfield went number one overall. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold was in the mix, and then you had Josh Rosen going number 10 overall. A tough draft for those three quarterbacks, all three of which have not performed based at the draft where the level where they were taken. But one sort of intriguing thing, we think about Josh Rosen and the Cardinals, and looking ahead to this topic we want to get to, it teams poised to disappoint. One of the most amazing things to me was that the Cardinals took Josh Rosen number 10 overall with their first round draft pick, and it only took them a year to give up on that. Remember, they traded him away to the Dolphins. Then they traded, or then they got Kyler Murray. And so they abandoned Josh Rosen for Kyler Murray. I think there's a real risk because Kyler Murray now is injured. He tore his ACL in December. He's not likely to play until sometime in the midst of this season. I think there's a real risk that the Cardinals are that team that finishes with the worst record in the NFL, has the number one overall draft pick, and they might do it again. They might just take Caleb Williams. Jeez, number one overall, and discard Kyler Murray, because they've done it once. They'll do it again. And because Kyler Murray, at this point, if you had the number one overall draft pick and you had an opportunity to take Caleb Williams, would you say, oh, no, I'm going to bet my house on Kyler Murray at this point? He's had trouble staying on the field. He's been inconsistent. He's had flashes of greatness. But look, if you can get Caleb Williams, I think they're going to do the same thing. Just as they traded away Josh Rosen, they would trade away Kyler Murray for whatever they can get, and they bring in Caleb Williams.
Well, they paid him the fattest contract, over $200 million. And who's going to want to pick that up?
Yeah, that's a burden. No question.
I mean, it's a huge burden. And yeah, when they paid him was a crazy thing, because I think what you bring, the point you bring about with Arizona is a very good one. And you look now, so they started out last season 7-0, if you remember.
Hard to remember, because it just doesn't seem like that could have happened.
Remember, J.J. Watt was playing for them. DeAndre Hopkins was playing for them. And so it was different. And then this is before Kyler Murray gets injured. They just start tanking. And they ended up the season terribly. They didn't even make the playoffs. And so to me, there is some sort of a culture issue in Arizona. They haven't been able to hire the right coach. They haven't been able to get the right quarterback, as you just very wisely pointed out. And you think about when they gave Kyler Murray that max contract, what leaked was the stipulations in the contract.
Yeah,
that there's basically going to be spyware on his iPad. He can't play video games. He has to watch film an hour a day, and they're going to be watching video. And they still paid him, knowing this. No, and Kyler Murray did not shy away from that. I mean, he was mad that it got leaked out, but he didn't deny it. Why in the world would you pay someone doing that? Then he tears his ACL and he's out. And now he comes back. He's got no J.J. When he comes back, he's got no J.J. Watt. He's got no DeAndre Hopkins. He's got a brand new coach. Do you see this getting any better for Arizona?
No, see, I think they will finish with the worst record.
Right, I agree.
And I think they're going to draft Caleb Williams. Oh. Obviously, it's early to make all those proclamations, but I do think they're the worst team in football coming into the season. I don't see another team. I mean, they just released Colt McCoy, right?
Right.
So what do they have a quarterback? I mean, if you're really down to that level, that's really scary. So, no, let's look at the teams that are poised to disappoint.
They've got Josh Dobbs and Clayton Tune.
Ah, you got me on that one.
So there you go. Your fears should be allayed.
There we go. So at the bottom end of the rung, teams that I think are poised to disappoint, I absolutely think Cardinals, and that's not a big surprise disappointment there, but I really think they're going to struggle.
No, but I think it's good to bring it up because they're not very talked about because they have been just irrelevant.
Irrelevant. Okay, another team I think is poised for a long season, although I feel less passionate about this, but it's Atlanta. You know, they don't really have a quarterback on which you can make a big bet. They do have some pieces, though. They've got some real talent there, and I think they'll do better than the Cardinals. But this is a team it's going to be in for a long year. They certainly don't have playoff aspirations. I mean, Desmond Ridder, Tyler Heinicke. I mean, where are they going to get quarterback play? They're just not ready.
They seem happy with Desmond Ridder. I mean, he's young, and it's going to, you know, he came from Cincinnati. It's going to be interesting. But the only thing that may save the ATL from the same fate as Arizona is that they're in a division with Carolina, with Tampa Bay, but they are in the division with New Orleans, and I think that's a quiet sleeper that no one is talking about. And Derek Carr is an experienced quarterback. He's been with Dennis Allen before as an offensive coordinator in Oakland. He's got weapons, especially when Alvin Kamara comes back. You know, I think I like it. I like being quiet. So I think the division for Atlanta is friendly to them.
Okay, so that certainly helps their cause not to be one of those big disappointments.
Yes.
But now you're bleeding into the other topic, which is teams poised to sort of beat expectations. And it sounds like you think New Orleans might be one of those teams.
I do. I think there is a potential for upside for sure. And I love the fact that they're really not being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I think
they're
that's not the best way to be. I mean, Derek Carr is, we know his work ethic is amazing. He's a great leader on and off the field. The locker rooms love him. You know, I think that he and Dennis Allen have a history together is good. I like that they're not being talked about. I want to see what they bring. And they've got a great defense in New Orleans. So, and thank goodness they have Jameis Winston as a backup.
Yes. Okay.
Always a show.
Give me some other teams that you think might just surprise with upside.
I don't know if this is a surprise, but I think Jacksonville is one to watch.
Mm.
I mean, they just absolutely continued on an upward trajectory. You know, going into the playoffs, I think Trevor Lawrence has gotten better. Travis Etienne is coming back, and he's going to, I'm sure, have another incredible season. I really like their O-line. I like their defense. I think they're going to be a fun one to watch. I think they are the kings of the AFC South that I see. Not that that's a tough division either, but you know what? I don't want to see Jacksonville. I mean, I think I love Doug Peterson as their coach. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And Trevor Lawrence has got it. Trevor Lawrence does not shy away from the big moment. He's poised. He knows what he's doing. And I think once you got that Urban Meyer stank out of that place, it's gotten a lot better.
One team I struggled with, I could put them in the category of poised to disappoint or poised to excel.
Ooh, intriguing.
It could go either way, is the Cleveland Browns.
Agreed.
I mean, with Deshaun Watson, I don't know which Deshaun Watson we're going to get. He was absolutely one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL when he played for the Texans. He looked really out of sync last year, but in his defense,
he was rusty. Over 300 and something days without playing.
It had been a long time. Yeah. If he could return to form, there's a lot of talent on that Browns team. I mean, on the defensive side, you've got and the cornerback Denzel Ward, you've got Myles Garrett rushing the passer. And then on the offensive side, I mean, look, Deshaun is a guy who could throw the ball. He makes every pass. He moves around well. And he's going to have Nick Chubb behind him to set up the play action. That team might just pull it all together.
And Amari Cooper, who I love.
And Amari Cooper, who runs the best routes in the NFL.
Yep.
I just struggle with which Deshaun are we going to get?
Well, and you know, Cleveland Brown has – the Browns have not been successful at coaching hires, but I really do like Kevin Stefanski a lot. So I think he's the coach for them. So it's really going to depend what happens. I think it's going to – time will tell. But Deshaun needs to be better. He's paid – like an elite quarterback.
Oh, no. With his pay level, he better be at the top of the heap.
Fully guaranteed, biggest fully guaranteed contract in the NFL. This is his time. It's time to show up.
All right. The other team I wanted to highlight is, I think, poised to exceed expectations is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I say this because Mike Tomlin always makes them competitive. They're always at least break even because Tomlin seems to be...
They're always in the mix. We're always talking about
right,
them.
Right. And now their defense last year wasn't what we've come to know from the Steelers.
And TJ Watt was injured for a lot of it.
And that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
But Watt will be back. And then offensively, Kenny Pickett will be a big lever here on whether they can actually succeed. I guess he's looked good in training camp. But look, last year it was a rookie season. And frankly, you can't expect much out of a rookie. I think in year two, if he comes out with more confidence and the game slows down for him, I think the Steelers could win 9 or 10 games.
Yeah, I can see that. And the biggest reason I can see that, number one, their defense. Number two, their coach. I think Kenny Pickett is going to be – he has the potential to be a very good quarterback. I don't see him as elite, but he's enough with the pieces that
good
are
good enough.
Work. Yep.
Bus driver around that Steelers team. All right, it's been great to do this again. We are back.
So good to
the
be back.
The Boston Gloss. We've been off for a while. We're now back on the air.
We'll see you week one.
Yes, we'll be back next Monday. I really hope you'll join us again. You've been listening to the Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.